Please be seated. You can open up. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes, three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Faith and hope both spring from love, which makes love the greatest virtue of all. Faith and hope are temporary, but love is eternal. Love is the greatest because it is the root of the other two. We believe only in that which we love. We hope only for that which we love. Love is the greatest because love is for our neighbors. Faith and hope are mainly for ourselves. Love is the greatest because faith and hope are human. But God is love. Once in heaven, we will no longer need faith and hope, but only love. It is eternal. Think about that. In Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. So, I think we're talking a little bit about protection there. And if you love His name, that means you're going to be full of joy. Unspeakable joy. God's love is so much more than that warm, fuzzy feeling that we often associate with the word love. His love is a powerful force of protection and comforting to us. Being in God's love is a position of not just joy, but as I said, safety. When we run to God for protection, He surrounds us with His shield of love. It's hard to penetrate a hard shield of the Lord of love. In Psalm 36, verses 5 through 7, your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. Sounds similar. You heard that also, that we quote it all the time. Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover us with His feathers, and under His wings we shall take refuge. It's a place of safety. Psalm 31:7, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul. He cares about the anguish of your soul. That is to be extremely distressed about something. Extremely distressed about something. He doesn't want you all stressed out. So he cares about the anguish of your soul. You hear that? That's why in Psalm 42. Right, Stephen? And what's it say in verse 5? It says, so then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God. For no matter what, I will sing praises to your name. For you are our saving grace. Let that sink in for a second. Why so depressed? Why in despair, O soul? He cares about the anguish that what you go through. So we tell you, don't worry about it. I got it. Problem is, you don't trust him enough to give it to him. Give it to him. Don't get stressed out about things. God is faithful, righteous, and just. He loves. His love reaches to the heavens. His faithfulness reaches to the skies. His righteousness is as solid as the mighty mountains. And his judgments are as full of wisdom as the oceans are with water. And a lot of water out there in emotions. We need not fear evil people because we know God loves us. And we know he judges evil. Well, we've seen it. It's been happening. Judgment has been passed. Why do you think they're all running? Why do you think they're deserting? Why do you think they ain't going to rerun for office again? They know what they've done. They just don't know how to escape it all. Maybe if they just go away, everybody will forget. God doesn't forget. And he will not be mocked. And we also know that he will take care of us now and throughout eternity. All throughout eternity. But he's also going to do it now. We don't have to wait till eternity. It's now. We just got to believe in that and trust him. Got to trust him. Confidently. You got to lean on him. Because you have nothing else. If it's that job you got, don't you be trusting in that, thinking it's going to be there forever. A lot of people have. And it's gone. Blink an eye, it's gone. Here today, go in tomorrow, and they say, hey, pack up your stuff. Sometimes they don't even let you pack up your stuff. I've watched that happen to a lot of folks. In Romans 5:5, Amplified. So much hope in God's promises never disappoints us. I'm going to stop right there. Hope. Hope here is the Greek word elpis. And it's spelled E-L-I-P-I-S, pronounced E-L-P-E-C-E. Doc knows I work hard on trying them. When I can't, I just don't even try them, you know. But that one was pretty easy. But it means, hope here means a joyful and confident expectation of good. Because it's from our hope. Our hope is in God. God is good. And God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You can participate anytime you want. We go over these things and say to me, yeah. Because God is good. He's a good God. Amen. Let me read this again now. Such hope never disappoints us because God's love, there's the key, because God's love has been abundantly, abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's love was poured out into our hearts the day we were born again by the Holy Spirit, who moved into our very being. That love in us is very powerful. But it's not powerful unless you tap into it. It can sit there and do nothing for you. But if you tap into love, whoo, there is power, power in that love, in the love that He has for us. So much love that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall what? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All motivated by love. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Amen to that. Now, love, like I say, it gives root to our faith and hope. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, I love what Paul writes. The important thing is faith. The kind of faith that works through love. And then what's he write in the Ephesians? For by grace we have been saved through faith. And faith works through love. Faith works through love. And we all know love, very important, forgives. That means you got to take the love and use it. In Proverbs 17, verse 9, I know you're going to like this. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Can I get a witness, huh? Yeah. Love forgives. In Psalm 103, verse 10 through 14, He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love. So great is His love for those who fear Him. That's a reverential fear we talk about there. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. If you're going east, will you ever end up west? It's an impossibility. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Makes a little bit more sense, doesn't it? As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. We are dust. He formed us out of the dust of the earth. It's amazing when you think about that. From ashes to ashes, from dust to dust, brother. But it's the spirit and soul that he implants into you. You know, a little question here. Amber, how old is your son? Wrong. How old is your daughter? How old is your daughter? Wrong. Add 9 months to that. When that baby was conceived. So add 9 months to that. Whoa, that was a revelation to me. And I was sitting there thinking about the age of the kids coming to the Christmas dinner, and he says, they're older than that. What are you talking about, Lord? He says, add 9 months to that. He says, that's when it becomes the day of conception. Think about that. And what an awesome gift they are, our children. In Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22. Peter, I just love this guy because I can identify with him. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. 7 times 70, how much is that? Yeah. Do you think somebody can offend you that many times in one day? Some of you are laughing at him. I don't go there. Praise God. Love forgives. Love forgives. So then unforgiveness is not love. Unforgiveness is not love. And we all know faith works by love. Works by love. That being said, there is one place then where faith won't work. It's true. Even though faith in God has power to move mountains, even though all things are possible to them that believe, and faith in God's word will work in any nation, any economy, and in any circumstance, there is that one place where it won't work. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Although there are other hindrances to faith, but Jesus repeatedly put forgiveness at the top of the list. You ever notice that? Seemed to always put it up there. It was very important. I like, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Each time they drove down that hammer on them nails. He was able to withstand what he went through because of love. Love is powerful. Love forgives. Love heals. Because through his love, we have healing. We have healing. We don't have to wait for it, we have it. For by his stripes, we were healed. So that means we have it. Love heals. If you look at Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, now, is it our Lord Jesus speaking, says, have faith in God. Or if you look at it, it's actually, have the God kind of faith. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, Whoever, say, I'm a whoever, says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Yeah, let that sink in. You have whatever you say. Watch what you say. Quit saying what you have. How about saying what the Word says you have? It says you have it. You must claim it and receive it. I thank you. I believe it. I'll take it. I have it. It's mine. And I forgive. Verse 24, therefore, Jesus still speaking, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Awesome. Ah, but we got to go on. Verse 25, and whenever you stand praying this prayer, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Verse 25 will bring substance to verse 24. And it is the prayer of faith, because the first one was the law of faith. So what I'm saying is the prayer of faith isn't finished until all unforgiveness has been repented and released. It means that faith and forgiveness are a package deal. You might be saying right now to yourself, why would Jesus be so strict about that? Why would he make forgiving such a hard and fast rule? It isn't a rule. It's a spiritual principle or law, like the law of gravity in the natural. Faith works by love. And refusing to forgive is basically unloving. Therefore, holding on to unforgiveness short circuits our faith. It puts us in a place where faith in God won't operate, because God himself is love. So basically, you just shut the power off. When you won't forgive, you're unloving. No power. It's love. Love gives power to your hope and your faith. It is the root, the main source. 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. That's what the Word says. God is love. He doesn't just have love. That's who he is. So when we're operating outside of love, we're not operating in him. Jesus puts it this way in Mark 12. Verses 29 to 31. The most important commandment is this. I like this. Listen. 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 The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And in John 13, 34, he tells them, and he's telling all of us, new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He gave us an example of love. And we're supposed to be imitators. We're supposed to love like he did. How can you? It's been shed abroad in your heart. There's an abundant outpouring of love that's been filled in you to forgive. Don't take offenses. Don't get angry with the word or with the delivery boy who delivers the word. Because if you are, you're getting mad at God. And that ain't a good place to be. You want to be in agreement with God. And if it touches you, sit back and you look at it. You go, okay, maybe I better listen and let me look it up and see what it says to me. And because sometimes if you read a lot of scriptures before it and come down to it, then it'll make sometimes more sense to you. And then you'll have an enlightenment and you'll say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Will you forgive me? He says, yeah, I'm faithful and just. I'll forgive you. Now, will you forgive yourself and move on and forgive that person? Mm-hmm. Those are not suggestions. They're commands based on spiritual law. They're how we, as born again, Holy Spirit-filled believers are to respond. We are to respond to Jesus' command to love by being willing. You hear that? Being willing to forgive. Oh, but you don't know what so-and-so did to me. No, I don't. But whatever it was, you're still commanded to forgive them. You know, if you don't, you're putting yourself in danger. You may not think you are. You might think that you're protecting yourself and that you're going to punish the one who wronged you. That is a total misconception. Hey, Vic, me and her had this discussion a while back. It's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that may be the answer to the question, how dumb can you get? It doesn't work, right? Instead of hurting the other person, you're the one who suffers from the poison of unforgiveness. The person it damages is you. Over time, you even forget about that unforgiveness. You may go around making your faith confession saying, praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, thinking everything is fine and dandy. But all the while, that poison is still in your spirit and it's doing damage. It is destroying your faith. Well, here's the good news. We can flush out that poison of unforgiveness. As believers, we have the power to forgive anyone for anything, anytime we choose. Ooh. We choose. Because we have the love of God inside us. We're born of His love. We don't have to pray to get it, do we? It was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit when we were born again. Very simply, this means we are free to let go of unforgiveness. It's in your hands. You're holding on to it. Let it go. Let the unforgiveness go. Don't hold on to it. It isn't worth it. And we don't have to fear torment if we're holding on to it. Holding on to it brings torment to your soul. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, like I said, if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. If you are afraid that God is going to do something to you awful, then you do not know His love that He has for you. You don't realize the extremes He went through. That's what love's all about, folks. What He did for us. He gave us His Son, Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate this month. Knowing if that's the exact day, I don't know, but you know, it is awesome that we celebrate it. But we should celebrate it every day. Every day, get up and be thankful. That's experiencing His perfect love. You're not going to be punished. He loves you. 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. You just got to ask Him to. Forgive me, Lord God. And go with a repentant heart. Don't just say, okay, I just say, hey, I'm going to forgive. He knows your heart. He looks at the heart, folks. You can't hide. You can't hide from God. He knows us. He created us. He knew us before we were born. Think about that. Perfect love, the living, growing, God kind of love, doesn't just manage fear. No, it casts out fear. It gets rid of fear completely so that we don't have to harden our hearts towards someone because we're afraid of being vulnerable. We can just love them. We have that love in us. That gives us the capability to love them. The God kind of love, agape love, it isn't a feeling. It is an act of the will. It's making a quality decision. I will love no matter what you do. That's a hard one, no matter what you do. But that's a decision. That's the decision that God made about every one of us. He loved us, like I said, before we were born. He loved us before we got saved. Yeah, when we was mean and unloving. So I identify with that. Because you see, when I look back at my BC days, the before Christ, in my life days, I'm just amazed at what God did for me. He not only sent Jesus to redeem me, even while I was still a sinner, but he put me with Teresa. And my wife loves me unconditionally. Lloyd loves me unconditionally. And because of that, both of them have taught me a lot of things about love. Unconditionally. She loved me at my worst, and she loved me at my best. How can I say that? Well, you just think, coming this February, be 48 years. 48 years. Now, the 2 years that we dated means that's 50. Praise God. And Vicki remembers all those days. Amen. My love for my wife has grown more because once I learned and had the love of Jesus, that love, that agape love, showed me because not only did I see how God loved me, but I saw how she did, even at my worst. I mean, she can tell you some stories. She can tell you some stories. When she got all mad, I come home one time, sitting there. And we got into a little bit of a thing, and this is when she was trying to get me born again and get me saved. She was working hard praying for me. But she got ticked. She walked out of the room, and she started telling God, you know what, I'm just going to go in there, I'm going to do that. And he says, no, you're going to shut your mouth. You're going to go back in that room, and you're going to say, Jack, would you like me to make you a cup of coffee? And you're going to do it with a smile on your face. And she just said, really? I said, yeah. But she had the love of God in her, and she came out, and she'll tell you that story. That's what she did. She said, honey, can I make you a cup of coffee? Sure, babe, I'll take a cup of coffee. Yeah, it was better when I got at the lamppost. She loved me at my worst. And she loved me at my best. But she's been there. She has been there, praise God. We as believers have to make that decision, though, to walk in love. To walk in love, it will take forgiveness on our parts. And when we make that decision to do it, things in our life will straighten up. And I know that you've heard before many times these things because we've heard numerous sermons preached from this pulpit on love and forgiveness. But we need to keep on hearing them, do we not? We need to keep hearing and hearing and hearing. We need to keep meditating on the command of love because so much depends on it. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but don't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. You don't think love's important? Love forgives. According to these verses, violating the law of love not only hinders our faith, but it is also has a deadening effect on the supernatural operations of the Holy Spirit. I come, Elder Denny, is this not a fact? It even robs us of the benefits of our giving. An unforgiving heart. See, so when it comes to giving, I go to the expert who's really been studying it out. I can study it out, but I'm letting him become the expert on it. Believe me, you can ask him. He's got a lot of information up there. It's not all on that iPad of his. It's in here, and he got it from here to in here, see. And that's why he can let you and enlighten you about it, because it comes from within his spirit, man. Driven and motivated by the Holy Spirit because of his love for you. He wants to see you blessed in your giving. You think I'm making the thing to get more money? No, I'm just telling you, this is a way for you to get blessed. And this man can enlighten you. He can give you the scriptures to back it up. Hallelujah. We don't have to commit a major violation of love or hold on to some great big unforgiveness to experience those deadening effects either. They can be the result of our accumulating a lot of little unforgivenesses that don't seem big enough to matter. It would be like a pipe. Now, that at one time, it was open and there was a flow just coming through that pipe. But over time, it slowly became clogged. And the water at the entrance only would splash up and not be able to go through that pipe. Now, I want you to think of that pipe as your spirit, which has gotten clogged up with those little grains of unrepented unforgiveness that we aren't even aware of anymore. By little unforgivenesses, I am referring to the driver who cut you off while you were driving your bus, a store associate at your favorite retail place. How about a Walmart employee? Because it seems like we all go to Walmart. And someone at the grocery store. How about the waiter or waitress at your favorite restaurant? Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? Wherever we go, the devil will see to it that someone steps on our toes. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll go off. Ticked off with another little grain of unforgiveness in our heart. We don't realize that these little unforgivenesses together will clog the flow. The power of the Holy Spirit is restricted, and it can even be held up. Unforgiveness lowers the protection of the love shield. We can keep the power flow gushing through us and confess over ourselves every day what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says about love. And it is true of us. That's what we need to declare today, this day, this morning, and every day. So let's say this. I have lived in the love of God Therefore, I endure long, and I am patient and kind. I am never envious, nor do I boil over with jealousy. I am not boastful, and I do not display myself haughty. I am not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. I am not rude, nor do I act unbecomingly. By God's grace, I never insist on my own rights or my own way. I am not self-seeking. I am not touchy or fretful or resentful. I take no account of the evil done to me. Pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I do not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. I rejoice when right and truth prevail. I bear up under anything and everything that comes. I am ever ready, like the ever ready bunny, to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and because of it, I endure everything without weakening. I never fail. That's love. And if you need that, it's just converted. That is what the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. You just confessed it over yourself. Because love is enduring and it is long. And love is patient and kind. And that's why we said, I endure long and I am patient and kind. That's the kind of confession you need to make over yourself. Amen. God bless. Love y'all. Father, I thank you right now as we prepare to go our separate ways. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we will work and perfect our love walk. We purpose to walk in unforgiveness towards others, Lord God, that we can forgive them. I didn't say that right. I know that didn't come out right. No. We walk in forgiveness and we will forgive unforgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.